Welcome to What a Circus, a podcast where we read a book and then talk about what it all means. This month, we read Madeline Miller's novel Circe, about the lesser-known goddess who turned enemies into monsters and meddled with the gods.
Circe is banished to an island as a punishment, but it is there that she hones her witchcraft while encountering many famous figures in Greek mythology, Daedalus, Odysseus, the Minotaur, and others. While some of us found the book moved too slowly, we all enjoyed how Miller crafted her tale and made Circe, a lesser-known goddess and one we rarely hear of, front and center. She also made her very human.
Our podcast gets its name from a quote by Charles Bukowski. The quote reads, "We're all going to die, all of us. What a circus. That alone should make us love each other, but it doesn't."
It's interesting that Circe and her fellow gods are immortal and still struggle, just like us, to live and love rightly. In other words, even the gods have a circus going.
A quick trigger warning for this episode. In this episode, we discuss the topic of sexual assault as it happens in the book. If that is a sensitive topic for you, I wouldn't recommend reading the book or listening to this episode. Now, on with the podcast.
Hello! This month we read Circe by Madeline Miller.
So, I just want to start off by saying, it was like really beautifully written. I love the details and descriptions. It's very like vivid.
Mm-hmm. I didn't really like the book. It wasn't really my thing. It was a good book. Like, I could tell it was very well written. I can see why a lot of people really liked it. It just was really slow for me. There was also some parts where I was slightly uncomfortable. but, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, it wasn't really my genre, but I could tell it was objectively really well written. It knew what it was doing with the story. Each scene foreshadowed a future scene and played into the overall plot, but it was slow for my taste, and it was just kind of depressing, but not my type of book, and I can respect that.
It was okay, I like it, but, like, I really love the descriptions, like, one poem I highlighted, divine days feel like water from a cataract, and I had not yet learned the mortal trick of counting them. Just, like, really good descriptions.
Yeah, see, I actually didn't really like that, because sometimes, like, it's good to read books like that. Like, you learn a lot and, like, advance your reading level. It's just sometimes I was, like, so exhausted just from reading a paragraph. I was like, you could have really shortened this.
Just, like, I don't care if the walls are the color of cherries.
Just yeah, you could just, like, cut out a little bit, so.
I think it depends on, like, what type of reader you are, because if you really need those details to, like, finish the painting, then, yeah, this was a good book for you. But if you want, like, straight to the point, it definitely was, like, a slow burn.
I feel like I'm usually a mix of both. There were some points where I was like, it was a tiny bit too much, but it was kind of just, like, a personal preference on when, so I can't say, like, objectively, like, this part specifically and this part.
I really liked how it tied in, like, a bunch of old stories that you may have heard, and it kind of gave, like, a different point of view in all of it.
Yeah. And as, like, someone who loves Percy Jackson, I don't know, it felt wrong to me, because Percy Jackson is, like, such, like, a kid's book, and this was so different, and, you know, like, I've never really read anything other than Percy Jackson about mythology, and so I had that background knowledge, but the gods and everyone else is described so differently.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting, because, I think the authors kind of had two different perspectives on mythology, because there's some people who like to sort of brush the bad parts of mythology under the rug, and I don't think Rick Riordan necessarily did that, but he did have a gentler view on it, and I think it depends on how you view the gods, because obviously when we view the gods from these modern days, it's like, oh my gosh, it's so weird, like, Circe ended up with her son's half-brother, which is really weird in our modern times, but back in the old days, the gods were really just reflections of humans, and so the things that they did were atrocious, were not usually that horribly atrocious for the time, and so they are bad people, but nowadays, like, if we were to recreate them, they might be, like, normally horrible people, not...
The societal standards definitely
change. Yeah, for sure.
And, like, we can see these patterns of, like, behaviors that we would consider inappropriate today mm-hmm. happening all throughout literature from back then in that time, because you have something from more, like, Northern European Europe, like Shakespeare, like Hamlet. It still has that sort of, like, incestuous relationship within that story, so it was definitely common themes that occur. Hamlet.
Oh, yeah, but wasn't the text clearly calling that out?
What?
Like... Sorry, I've just been, like, reading Hamlet in class, and that's sort of, like, a bad thing within the text. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's a pattern of this sort of behavior throughout literature. Yeah.
We can see, like, what's Odysseus's wife's name?
Penelope.
Penelope. Like, when she comes to Circe's island, she doesn't seem annoyed or, like, intrigued that Circe slept with her husband. Like, it just seemed normal. And these men, like, it's just normal, like, that's, again, societal standards, versus she was so faithful, like, she didn't sleep with any other men, especially with all the suitors and everyone there, so, like, it's, you really need to look at, like, the context and the time when the story was written.
It's kind of weird, because it's like, Zeus slept with, like, his sister, and, like,
Zeus is the ultimate evil.
I know. Okay, so, like, Circe's sister slept with a bull, so...
Yeah,
that
was weird.
That was...
Because I think part of the myth was that King Minos was supposed to, like, protect the sacred bull, but then he didn't, and then Poseidon got mad, and he, like, made Pasiphae fall in love with the bull. And then
I've always, like, every interpretation of the story I've had is not she was fascinated by the bull, so she went in a bull costume and went out there. It was she was bewitched to fall in love with the bull because of Eros.
Okay.
So messed up.
I know.
It's still, again, another pattern of, like, men's actions. Consequence falls on the woman.
Exactly.
Yeah, again.
Oh, my gosh.
It just made me so mad.
That's definitely a lot that's prominent in Greek mythology, but I think just, like, any time. Like, that was written, because, you know, like, women weren't writing Greek mythology, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, it can be said that, there's debate whether Homer was a woman or not because of how the female and servant characters were portrayed as, like, very powerful.
So I think that's a
kind of like Cersei.
She was
pretty darn powerful.
She's a modern author.
She was always viewed as a witch in mythology. She was in Odysseus's way. She was Odysseus's villain.
Fair.
But
if you read Circe,
she was a really good villain.
It's okay. Yeah. I forgive her.
I would rather I support women's rights.
I support her. I'm just saying.
I support women's rights and wrongs.
The Odyssey
was probably not written by a woman.
And also, like, the sad thing is, Circe, we see her in, like, all her glory here, but in the Odyssey, she was just one of many, like, trials that Odysseus had to face. And she was, like, not even consequential to that story. It was just a passing glance at her life.
Yeah.
And I really liked how this book, like, her being such, like, a minor character in the Odyssey, like, really, like, expanding upon expanding upon her character and giving her, like, a backstory and, like, leading up to, like, her turning men pigs and stuff. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder how the author chose which character she wanted to write about. She was like, oh yeah, this super minor bad woman in the Odyssey. That one. I like that one.
I'm just interested in how she chose to weave certain myths together. Because, like, not all of them, I think, are originally connected like this. Like, I don't think she was inherently connected to Daedalus. And then the author was like, yes, they fell in love together.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure this actually does follow the plot of actual mythology, because...
It does some.
I heard from my sister, and my sister is into, like, the ancient Greek poems and things, like the Aeneid and the other more obscure ones. And at some point, Circe does run away with her...
It's okay. From the little research...
And actually ends up with him.
We looked this up earlier, and that does happen. It's just, like, some of the things are definitely... I don't think she met Prometheus in any of the myths. I don't think she met Daedalus. Like, I'm not arguing with you on the main broad strokes, but some of the more smaller encounters, I'm surprised how the author made those, like, What inspired her to make those joint connections?
Speaking of Daedalus, I really liked the part in the book where she compared him to, like, constellations. I thought that part was, like, really beautiful.
Yeah, one thing I was confused is...
Oh, sorry. No, it's okay. You can go.
So it's like, her father sent her off to this island because she used, like, the bad flowers. I forget what they're called.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah. There was the flower on the island...
I think she
I don't know. I didn't finish it, so I'm not sure.
It wasn't actually. I'm pretty sure in the book it's not supposed to be like she's bound to this island, but I don't think like there's just a house there.
So
it wasn't.
Wait, could you elaborate more?
Yeah,
it was just meant to like separate her.
Yeah, it was just exile. I don't think it was punishment.
Yeah, they just wanted to get her out of the way.
Yeah,
and also. It was as a display to, like, show the gods that they can, like, send this random insignificant woman to a random island with a nice house.
With a nice house.
I mean,
they have the situation.
They've done it before with Calliope, so, I mean, again, common trend.
Yeah.
Or was it, sorry, Calliope.
I don't
know. Calypso, sorry. Calliope is probably one of the muses.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. She's, like, music, so like, she was under song and chaos, I think.
I'm sorry.
There's a lot of people in Greek mythology. But anyway, I think that it definitely ties in on how, like, all versions of Greek mythology, like you said, and how, like, the gods were perceived, you know?
Yeah.
Does anybody have, like, any questions about the book that they thought was, like, confusing?
I don't know. I never read anything Greek. I've never done Percy Jackson. I've never done any of that. So I was a little confused on all of the names, but I gotta say I loved the character development throughout the whole book, so it was enjoyable even though I knew no one, so
yeah. Yeah, explain. I have no idea who these people are, but hey, cool plot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, please.
The one part I loved about Cersei the most was that it's mostly kind of about, like, self-discovery.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I will say, as someone who is a big mythology buff, I didn't recognize a bunch of these names. These are a lot more minor characters. There's a few really recognizable names like Daedalus and Icarus, but a bunch of the characters you're playing with are minor.
Like, I had heard of
yeah, obscure. Like, they have minor parts playing the mythology. They're not like Zeus, who is a widely worshipped god or anything.
Yeah, I think that's what the book was trying to touch on, you know, because Cersei isn't exactly like a super big character.
I was kind of confused. I kept trying to think about, like, how immortality works. Like, how do people, like, do you age or not at all? Or how do you grow? How do you go from 5 to 19 and then stay at 19? Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I totally never.
It's like, do you age at a certain point and then stay
and
there?
Then
or
stay
you
there?
Yeah.
Or do you just age at a certain progress point? Really
and
slowly.
Do you age at was aging at the end, right? Because, like, she mentioned that she
had, like, gone withered. I think she was just imagining herself becoming old as she wanted to become human. So I think that was, like, her own thoughts. In her head.
Okay. And this story happened, like, over, like, thousands of years. Like,
yeah, that's what I was like.
The span was really long.
It was interesting.
Just imagine, like, Prometheus was getting his guts eaten the entire thousands of years.
I know! Like,
the true tragedy here.
It was cool how she kept reminding us how fast time was passing. Because, like, Cersei didn't notice, but constantly it was like, oh, she fell in love, he's dead. she fell in love again, he's dead. Like, it was like, oh, and then, but it wasn't even like they were killed. It was usually like they got really old and, like, passed on, and she was like, oh, I'm so beautiful. Next one, he's dead.
Except for Hermes.
Yeah. Hermes. Yeah. He was very sassy.
Okay. I liked him.
Sassy man of fox. She slowly declined out of,
I hated,
like,
him, but I liked him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Also, when she had, like, the baby, like, when she had her son,
and he
was constantly crying and screaming, I was like, I just really expected her to just eat him off the and make another one. I was like, she's got all the time in the world.
Exactly.
She's just gonna be done with this one.
Goodbye.
She's gonna get another one.
Honestly, when she was rejecting the deal from Athena, me as a person, I was like, I know that it's the morally wrong choice to chuck the baby into the ocean, but come on, just chuck the baby into the ocean.
Come on.
Yes. Again, it's been done before. A baby has been yeeted off a mountain in Greek Hephaestus. Mythology with Hephaestus and Hera just going like, never mind, I don't want this child.
I know, yeah.
And he was immortal. It wasn't even a mortal child.
I know.
It was an immortal baby.
I don't know your favorite character, if we're still doing that.
Who is
It's Cersei's mother. I know she was kind of horrible near the end, but I gotta hand it to her. She convinced Cersei's dad to have babies with her and only her. Like, that's
pretty girl boss.
Yeah, you know, for like,
that's
no
pretty girl boss.
Yeah.
Considering the horniness of gods.
I can't condone the child and bullying.
I mean, for like, with all of the characters doing what they do, I feel
that
like
was not the worst
she was
thing
not
happened.
As horrible as left a child. So.
Yeah. Still, bad mothers are a touchy spot.
Yeah.
Was it just me, or did we all think that Scylla got what was coming to her?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. She just kind of like.
It seems like all that she was like trying to be a bully, and then all of a sudden she was like this monster, and I was like,
I wanted to hear more about Glaukos or getting like. Yeah, I didn't really like him. And then it was Skyla who was kind of punished instead. And she was a kind of a bad person, but like she wasn't bad enough.
She just seemed kind of vain.
Yeah.
Like normal mean. She seemed like modern mean.
Just
not
like
Regina George.
I mean,
modern
mean.
She hadn't even killed anyone.
Exactly.
No.
That's the bar for not being mean.
Yeah.
You haven't committed
murder.
You
haven't killed anyone.
Okay, but with the sheer amount of death in the book.
Literally.
It was like you haven't committed murder.
Oh, never mind. But like she mentioned that Glaukos was like so upset because he was tired and stuff. And I'm like, how are you so whiny?
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Stop.
It's just dudes.
Go nap for
20,000
years.
Take a 20-minute power nap. You'll be fine.
I could feel that Glaukos didn't really like Cersei from the beginning. And then when she turned him into a god, I was like, stop. What are you doing?
I thought her son was really awful.
Oh my god,
she
like provided for him, and then he was like, I wanna leave.
I know, but she kept
like,
saying,
no.
Like, you know, I have to do this spell all the time to just keep you, like, alive, and he's like, okay, I'm just gonna head out. Like, bye, you can
deal
with that.
I made this little rowboat, now I'm gonna go across the sea.
I know.
I was like,
but
you know you built a boat good
enough.
I kind
of understand resenting the place that you grew up in when that's the only place you can ever be, and being told that, no, it's not safe for you to go anywhere else, not being
Fair.
Able to make
he
the risk for yourself.
He had, like, a Rapunzel moment.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mother knows best.
Yeah.
Lucy has an experience with a
Also, the thing of, like, the tiny robot thing, it's not the most improbable thing for Greek mythology, because Perseus's mother and Perseus made it across an entire ocean in, like, a wooden coffin. You know, it's happened before. It's actually better conditions, but...
But he was, like, trying to be killed, wasn't he? Wasn't
what?
The whole reason he had to stay on the island is because he was like, people were trying to kill
him. Athena.
Oh,
yeah.
Athena
had like
a
she could kill
thing.
Him though. Mm-hmm. Like, he was like, no, I'm just gonna leave.
I think that's
because
like
one
he
dude made
but
it
he never
coffin,
really
I can
that,
do it.
Though.
Just like, no, you don't understand.
He doesn't
I'm like dying holding up this like shield
barrier.
Around you, and you want to leave on this tiny rowboat the size of the table we're sitting at.
I think he would rather risk death than be coddled his entire life.
Yeah,
that's such a man thing.
Actually,
call me all you want if I can live.
No, I'd rather die than just be stuck in one place forever.
Yeah, that's true.
It's very much a person-to-person thing, I guess.
Well,
who is, like, your guys' least favorite character? Who had your favorite?
The sister that had
Helios.
The sister that had a child with the bull,
that was
concerning.
Helios.
Helios. Did he also sleep in his cattle? I know someone else also slept in cattle.
They mentioned it, but I don't know if it was.
They were.
Yeah. So he also.
No.
It's a family thing. We should be concerned for Cersei. Okay.
So when some of the shipmen, I don't know if this was Odysseus men or not, but they came in and they asked if she was alone.
Yeah. That whole.
It wasn't Odysseus' men. It was like a random.
Yeah. It's just a random shipwreck.
She did that like 8 times.
No, but like the first time it happened,
time
and then
the
next time she started turning them into pigs because she was like,
that was like the most uncomfortable part in the
I
book.
Know.
I read
I
it,
know,
I
but that's
and I was
just
like,
always
what if I just
read.
All right, ratings. Who wants to go first?
Let's start with Millie. Oh, great. I gave this book 7. I'm a great lover of Greek mythology, and I just really appreciate when stories are told and retold in different ways. So, although it's not the best, I did enjoy it.
I'm gonna say a 5 out of 10. It's not really something I think I'd read if I wasn't forced to. Oh, wait, yeah.
I would say 6.5. I enjoyed the Greek mythology. I've read some previously, so that definitely added on. I really enjoyed the details. I thought it was slow at certain points. The details just were too much. But yeah, it was a good book.
I give it an 8. I think it was objectively a very good book. It wasn't really my pace, but it's something that I think I will take a lot of, and it's just a good experience to read, but I don't think I'll be going back to it.
I'll give it a 6.5 as well. Like, it's okay. It wasn't really a fan favorite.
Okay, I would give it an 8 out of 10, just because it was just a nice break in what I usually read when it's like poetic writing. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was beautiful.
I'd say 7 out of 10. I thought it was a really good written book.
I'm gonna give it a 7. I thought it was well written, but it wasn't really my pace. It had some good parts, but.
I think I'm gonna give it a 10 out of 10. Oh, yeah. I don't know, I really liked how, like, eloquently the author, Madeline, wrote the story. And I also like all the flaws in all the characters. And, yeah, I don't know. But, oh, I also really am hoping she makes, like, a Hades or Persephone book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I kind of want to watch her do that because, a lot of the modern remakes aren't really favorable towards Demeter at all, and I think it would be really interesting from, like, a mother's perspective to see that happen.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
It's like, oh, my daughter is going off with the ruler of the world.
She got kidnapped.
She did get
kidnapped. I would rate it probably a 7 out of 10 because I loved all the words she used and descriptions and stuff, but it was slow and the chapters were so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would probably give it an 8 out of 10. I'm, like, a really big fan of, like, very poetic and, like, extremely descriptive writing, so I thought that was really cool. But it definitely, the chapters were very long. I'm not a fan of long chapters. I can't focus for that long.
I think I'd give it, like, a solid 6, because it honestly depends on who you hand the book to, because some people, like, enjoy this kind of book, or others are, like, dragged to other books.
I would give it an 8.5, honestly. It was a really well-written book. Like, it didn't seem, like, half-finished or anything. I will say it was really long, though. Like, the chapters were long. There was a lot of detail, sometimes too much. But I did love, like, some of the feminism in the book. Like, how powerful Cersei became. Yeah. Stuff like that.
9 out of 10. I love this book. It's great.
I give it a 7.5. I love Greek mythology, especially... I read a certain part of, like, Persephone and Hades' story where it wasn't kidnapping, and I love that. So, Greek mythology, amazing, but it was too damn long.
Yeah, it's really good. The chapters are, like, really long. It's like, I either, like, hyper-focus and finish, like, 20 chapters in one day, but, like, with this book, even if I, like, hyper-focus on this, I'll finish, like, half chapter.
Yeah.
It's 5 weeks.
What's your rating?
Oh, right. I'd say 7.5 out of 10.
Nice. Cool.
All right. Yeah. Thank you for joining us for this month's podcast. We will see you next time.
Bye.
That wraps up this month's episode. If you read Cersei and have thoughts on our discussion, feel free to let us know in the comments. Next month, we'll be reading Furia by Yamil Sayed Mendez, please excuse my pronunciation, about a girl in Argentina who just wants to play soccer while the men in her life try to bend her future towards their will. We hope you'll join us. Bye for now, and as always, happy reading!